back to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs.
Hello and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number... What episode is this?
132.
132.
Did I put it in the show notes?
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there it is. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of out of it.
Episode 132 with the air date of January 24th, 2006.
Yes. I'm Strom Carlson.
Jeez, you lose for 2 weeks and you're just out of it.
I am totally out of it.
I'm Black Ratchet.
Yeah, I haven't even touched a computer all day. I've been cleaning my apartment. But so yeah, welcome to Binary Revolution Radio. We're live again for the first time in a couple weeks, and our surprise for all you listening live is that we have a new, improved, easier to remember call-in number. The number is now 888-9-BIN-REV. That's 888-9-VIN-REV. Custom number mania.
Yeah. 888-9-VIN-REV. So call on in, because we had a guest and he had to run off and he had a good excuse. It was cool, so whatever. But we're just going to be doing email tonight and call-ins. And if you guys don't call in, the show is going to go off because. All these other times we try to do the listener-provided material, it was more along the lines of, geez, these shows sucks, because we just sort of sit there and go, nobody's calling in. We don't know what to do. So basically what we're going to do, if you don't call in, if the queue is empty by the time we hit end the email, we're going to talk a little bit and, you know, do our regular spiel. But once the show's over and we don't have any call-ins, the show is going to be over.
Mm-hmm.
So you have nobody to blame but yourself.
So get those dialing fingers ready. Dial, 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 888-9-BIN-REV.
All my fingers are dialing. All my dialing fingers are ready. I'm just ready to go and just, you know, hit all 10 buttons at once.
Yep.
Go, yeah.
On a Western
Electric
phone,
dial my phone in my,
not
my office.
Do anything, yeah. That'll just make no tone whatsoever if you hit them all at once.
Well, no, it makes a tone. It just sounds muted. It goes boop.
Not if you do it correctly. If you do it correctly, then that part of the dial mechanism never actually gets activated. So it just does nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you press the buttons kind of not quite at the same time. If you press the buttons not quite at the same time, then you get like a burst of tone. But if you press them at exactly the same time, nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. So,
so
we're just going to toss a number out here again, 888-9-BIN-REV. And
calling,
the archives are continued to be updated. So that was just a gaffe, and we're all set now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's all it for the housekeeping. We have no housekeeping today.
Yeah, real life seems to have interfered with our hacking-ness.
Well, not really. I mean, I've been doing stuff. It's just, you know, whatever. Let's go to the email.
Okay, email it. Is
yeah the email theme, you know, you know that little thing, you have the button you have to press
like this. This is the point where you say no like this, then you press that button where Stank says take that cock out of your mouth or something.
No, I don't have that set up.
Ah, damn it.
That would have been funny, though. If you didn't like pounce on it right after the song ended, I would have gone, yeah, just like that. But you ruined it.
Well, I was so waiting for you to pounce on it, but nothing. So, oh well, next time. Anyway, our first email.
We must be slightly lagged then.
Yeah, we probably must be. Our first email comes from Kyle L., and he says, hey, Strom and Black Ratchet. Recently, I needed some insurance on my car, so I headed over to progressive.com to get a quote. After entering my name and address, it gave back a list of cars titled Your Vehicles. It listed all the vehicles we've had at this address in the last several years. Anyway, I did some testing and found out the name you enter doesn't matter. Simply with a mailing address, you can get a list of vehicles that have been registered there. This information isn't hard to come by if you're willing to pay for it, but this is an interesting little free way of getting it. Black Ratchet is my hero, Kyle.
I bet he's, like, cringing right now. Technically, I think the original said, like, Black Ratchet is a noob, or Black Ratchet sucks. I forgot exactly what he said, but I decided to do a little inline editing there.
Welcome to BinRev, where Yeah.
We read what we want to read on air, damn it.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Kyle's going to run me over in his Mustang or something.
With Progressive, he can cover
that's
it.
That's awesome. Yeah, he can cover it with Progressive Auto Insurance. He can insure his Mustang and kill people and not have to pay an insane premium.
Exactly.
Is that? No, Geico is the one with the gecko. Yeah. Forget.
I don't trust anyone with really creepy, crazy ads.
Well, Progressive is pretty good, I think.
Yeah, Progressive is good.
They got the president, or the former president. The president got president who died. Very sad. Or is that Allstate?
Who?
I don't know. It's kind
They've
of
They've got
sad.
Richard Nixon advertising insurance? What?
No, see, no, you don't watch TV. You can't comment on this.
Yeah, I'm just
but
guessing
Kyle,
that it's Richard Nixon.
Congratulations. No, it's... We won't get into it. Okay. For those of you who watch 24, you know what I'm talking about. Kyle, yeah. Thank you. That's actually really kind of creepy, I think, the way that they can actually bring that up like that. I originally thought, ooh, that's pretty cool. But the more I thought about it, this is a problem. Because one of my friends, he was applying for a credit card because I think it was Dell, or maybe it was Gateway at the point. I forget. But he was applying for a credit card online. And one of their security features was after you enter your, name, social security number, mother's maiden name, blood type, all that wonderful stuff, they had, please verify your identity. One of the questions was, I think it was multiple choice, if I'm not mistaken, actually. You had, 10 choices, and it's like, please select the car that you bought in such and such a year. And they had, 8 choices, and his car was there. And we both thought it was like, wow, that's kind of scary that they know that. But I also thought, that really isn't too secure. I mean, someone could actually go and watch them and find out what car that they bought and what cars they have, so they stand a good chance of doing it. But, I kind of dismissed that because what you have to do is basically sit there and you have to do recon on your target if you want to steal their identity and go, woo, yeah, you're driving a, yellow Yugo. And then that to fill it out. But thanks to Progressive and Progressive Auto Insurance, not only can you get cheap rates, but once again, you can reach out and own someone. Just own them over the network and be, yeah, I know what car you drive. So anyway, yeah, and by the way, it does work. I did verify it with something. Actually, a very interesting thing is that they don't provide insurance in Massachusetts. So that was pretty interesting. Our next email is from Duff UK. And hi, Black Ratchet and co-host. Recently, I downloaded and installed a host file to my C Windows System 32 driver's Etsy directory. It's from a website called HP Hosts. These guys maintain a massive list of domains, 42,258 at the last count, that effectively block all the crappy inline ads whilst I'm browsing. Well, anyway, to cut a long story short, binrev.com has been added to the list. It's not a problem to edit out your entry, but I thought you may find this entry interesting nevertheless. Anyway, great show last week about the IRC stuff. Very well prepared and informative. Keep up the good work, guys. I'm looking forward to hearing the follow-up real soon about bots and stuff. Best regards, Duff UK. P.S. I know you guys are into payphones, so I've included a nice picture of some public payphones in the arrival lounge at Tunis Airport, Tunisia, taking on a visit recently. Duff, first off, hey, awesome photos. I'm curious whether or not if you have submitted it to 2600, did they do all that stuff? They I think they on like their back inside cover. It used to be on their back cover, but on their back inside cover now they have all the photos from around the world of payphones.
I'm back. Sorry, I've been screening calls.
Yeah, apparently. I was like going, man, where the heck is he? And I was just like looking out there going, whatever. Mm-hmm. Where'd he go? But yeah. We do have phone calls, so that's always good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so on the back of their inside cover, they do collect phone pictures, so you might want to send it off. And I'll try and post this on my website just so everyone else can see it. Next, I don't know what these people were thinking, but sure enough, we are listed. This was actually, I believe it was you, or maybe it was someone else, messaged Zygmunt, and he brought it up in the one of our secret forums that we have about, you know, we were listed. And I guess these people really don't do QA work, or else they just sort of, you know, blindly add sites in that someone reports, and someone must have most reported binrev.com as a super 31337 hacksaw site, which I guess is a compliment. I don't know. But we are classified with the riffraff of, you know, spyware sites and horrible sites and, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, stuff that'll make your hair grow in your palms and I don't know. But anyway, so we decided, well, you know, I think we fit this guy's description as a normal site, so we'll just go and we'll try to get off of it. And I went to their website, and he had instructions on their website. I think it's just run by one guy, if I'm not mistaken. And he says, you know, if you want to get listed, you know, I need this information from you. You know, what's your website about? What does it actually do? What entries do you want removed? And it, you know, it was very straightforward, and I thought, okay, I'll go do this. And I registered, and that was a week ago, and I have heard nothing since. So, I mean, no, you've been denied, or no, you've been accepted, or, I mean, I can't post on this bloody forum. I actually need to go and email this guy and say, hey, you know, I tried to do it your way, but I'm actually directly emailing you now, so take us off our list, damn it. So, for the record, HP Host sucks. Don't use them, but we will plug their website, because it's an interesting project. I will give the guy that. And if 42,000 sites listed, I'm sure, you know, at least a couple of them are listed incorrectly, and you have to take care of your own website. But it's tinyurl.com/CharlieOscarFox8Whiskey. Check them out. Look at it. It's a fairly simple idea. For those of you who don't know, your host files, basically you can specify an IP address to a certain domain name, and that overrides all your settings. And if, for example, you're specifying that to a null website, you can't get to that website. Sort of very burning the village to save it, but it's effective. I will give them that. Do we have a phone call this evening?
We do have a phone call. Let's grab Elf. Just a second.
Elf. God, Will Ferrell's going to be on the show. Ugh. Go fly over to L.A. and smack him and say, that's not funny. Yes, that's not my joke, I know. And this is why we enjoyed the call screener, because we could just instantly bring him in and not have to worry about calling them and talking to them, and then I can just, you know, sit here and not have to babble on incessantly about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All so right. Do we have Elf?
We have Elf. I believe Elf's bridged in. Say hello, Elf.
Yes,
there.
Oh, I just was going to let you guys talk. I hope I don't have an echo. I'm going through a landline that's hooked up to a VoIP system, so there might be some kind of issue there.
You sound good to
no
me.
No echo?
No echo.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you sound kind of grainy, but other than that, you sound good.
Well, it's going through GSM on my end. And
ew!
The cable sort of thing, so. Yeah, well, I know we all hate GSM, but, I don't. You know, 5.12k up, what can you do, really?
Well, you've got the bandwidth for, I've got 608 up, and I can do like seven calls with Mula at the same time, so.
Well, the worst thing about this system is it goes in and it goes out, so every call really takes twice the amount of bandwidth, you know, at least as it's usually set up, because I have my apartment here with an EXI, and then I'm using a software phone right now, actually, and then it goes to Irvine, where Astra server is, and then it goes out either over VoIP Jet or you know, a number of other routings. But
Well, I mean, what will happen actually is if with EECS2, if you've got, you know, if you've got something in the connection that doesn't need to be there, EECS2 is smart enough to where it'll say, okay, you and you talk to each other directly, and then the redundant connection will drop out.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It hands it off, kind of like people...
And, actually, SIP does that as well, but it...
So anyway...
And this is why we don't use GSM, because the lag is horrible.
Yeah. So anyway, you had an interesting question about...
We're not trying to say anything by the hair there, Elf.
Okay.
So you had a question about step switches or something?
Step switches interconnected with VoIP. I think people are making something called the CNET, which is the collector's net, and they're hooking a bunch of step switches together with asterisk boxes. And
cool.
I just
Let me guess,
you
read about this in Network World today.
I did. I heard this a while ago. I pointed out strongly maybe a week ago, and then I thought it would be an interesting topic for today. Was it in Network World?
Yeah, it was actually. I paid attention to the mailing list that they're on. I'm not actually really active in it, but I do read the mail, as it were. I pay attention to their archives, and I was reading it today because I was completely bored at work, and they were just mentioned in Network World, and I think I might be able to fish a URL out there for you. Strom, do you want me to talk about this, or shall I?
You talk about it because you know more about it than I do, and I'll go screen the next. Actually, no, I can't screen the call while he's on. So. You go ahead and talk about it.
Well, what CollectorsNet is basically it's a bunch of telephone collectors who own switching equipment. And, you know, switching equipment meaning actual telephone switches, whether it be step-by-step switches or I think someone actually owns a crossbar switch for some reason. And what all these are, for those of you who don't know and haven't paid attention over all those traumatized babblings, these are old electrical mechanical phone switches back that were used from... Basically up until about the 1980s in most areas. And they're not electronically controlled, they're not digital, they're all, you know, giant moving pieces of equipment. And, you know, telephone collectors just seem to like collecting telephones, and one of the parts that they actually do is they connect their telephones up to actual telephone switches. And actually what this group was is they were thinking, well, geez, we have all these telephone switches, but technically they're not connected to anything, or maybe they're connected out to a single landline someplace. What happens, why don't we try and connect them together via VoIP? And this group, actually, let me go drop their website. I believe it's www.ckts.info. And basically this group got together, and they all started using asterisk, and all of these people started connecting up their switches together. And I believe on the Network article they said they have, like, you know, 12 active switches all connected together. And, you know, they all basically, I think they all have their own exchange hooked into their switch. Like, you know, for example, it would be 311555 would be one switch, while 311556 would be another switch, you know, possibly somewhere in another completely different geographical area. And they've all interconnected them, and apparently it works. They actually have a phone number that I've used occasionally, and you can dial it up from the regular phone network. You can get a dial tone, then you can actually dial out all of these numbers that were accessed in their network. And it's very interesting. If you liked old telephone equipment, go ahead.
Sorry, it must be that delay again. I was just going to say, yeah, it's kind of a neat thing. I remember I was listening to the Evan Doorbell recordings quite some time ago, and he discouraged people from simulating the old network using digital methods. And I suppose, of course, that doesn't directly apply to this. But, you know, I was just kind of wondering, I know Strom has been in contact with him. What would be his take on this whole thing? I think it's really neat.
Yeah.
You know, they get to use the old technology. And, you know, there's really no better way to interconnect it at the time. They're not going to, you know, lease lines to each other and all that. But,
Well, I mean, there is a huge difference between having a real step switch on the end of a digital connection versus having recordings of a step switch on a server somewhere. I mean, with recordings, you lose all the cool things and make the real switch special, whereas with a real switch, if you've got, you know, something on the end of a connection, although it's not as anywhere near as high-quality audio as you'd get from playing with it directly, you still are moving selectors and so on.
Okay, yeah. And should I move on to my second topic of the day, or?
Sure, go ahead. Let me just hold on. It's I believe their website is ckts.info, and the Network World article is tinyurl.com/9YankeeKilowattVictorUniform. And now you can go.
Okay. Well, this is a more personal thing. A while ago, I got an ISDN line installed in my house just for the two phone lines, and you don't have to pay for caller ID. And, of course, this was through my parents, the house in Irvine, and Irvine, California, that is. And, you know, my parents are not very knowledgeable about telecom in general, though, and I don't profess to be, but, you know, I know a bit more than average. And, of course, the whole selection of a long-distance carrier thing came up, and somehow they got stuck with Sprint. And recently we got a $120 phone bill, and Sprint was charging us 40 cents a minute for in-state calls during the daytime. And I called another friend of mine, and he suggested that this was kind of an unusual thing. And I was just wondering, what's your opinion of Sprint? We've had some experience with them in the past with cell phones and $500 a month bills, but, you know, in your experience, does Sprint tend to rip people off more than other telephone companies do?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, you've used Sprint for more than a few years, so... I really have never used Sprint long distance per se. I had Sprint local service in Vegas, but they're busy divesting that division. My question for you is, did they intentionally sign up for Sprint, or did they just find themselves with Sprint one day?
I think, oddly enough, when we were getting the new line, we told them we wanted MCI, but that was what we had before. And ever since we got the first ISDN bill, it was just Sprint, so... I also called the Sprint operator, and she quoted 30 cents a minute for in-state calls.
Well,
you know,
that's the thing. The thing is, if the telephone company sets you up incorrectly and sets your pick to a different long-distance carrier for whom you don't have an account set up with, they're going to charge you the casual access rates for all direct dial calls. If you call up the long-distance company and set up an account with them, then obviously they'll give you a better deal. But, I mean, you can't just say Sprint, for example, and expect that you're going to have an account with Sprint. You have to call the inter-exchange carrier and say, hi, I want to set up an account with you guys.
Okay, so that explains it, although
in
this day and age where long distance is, you know, less than a penny, that they would charge you 30 cents a minute.
Any long distance carrier will do that if you use their network casually. MCI will charge you insane rates. Sprint will charge you insane rates. AT&T will charge you insane rates. Global Crossing will as well, and whoever else, you know.
Okay. Yeah, thankfully, I last month I started routing out VoIP jets, and, you know, I don't think I'm ever going back, aside from failover. Yeah, that was just... and a related issue, if you don't have anything to talk about, do you think the public knows enough about telecom in general? Do you think there are ways that they could be better educated about these kind of things so that they don't run into, you know, $120 a month bills, or... Is this kind of intentional on the part of the telephone companies to try and, you know, kind of not make this information too prominent so that people will run into these kind of charges?
Well, I mean, if they encourage you to sign up. I mean, if they didn't want you to sign up for long-distance plans, they wouldn't advertise them. You know,
yeah,
they wouldn't advertise 5 cents a minute, 7 cents a minute, you know. Casual access has always been an expensive tariff service. It's always been that way. Because, you know, for what they have to go through in order to bill you, it's far more complicated than what has to be done if you already have an account established with them. So the additional overhead in billing you for casual access.
Well, actually, when I got Verizon, it was a basically I set up my line with Verizon, and you know, they said, "Do you want a long distance provider?" And I told them, "No, I don't plan on making long distance phone calls." And I just sort of left off with you guys, but So, and I got a letter in the mail from Verizon saying, you know, okay, your phone line's set up, here's your phone number, you know, they gave me all the, you know, here's your services enabled, and part of the string was, you do not have a long-distance service. You need to set one up if you want to call long-distance, or else, I forget the exact quote, I think I don't have it in front of me, so it is. Basically, it's along the lines of... you know, so my God, set up a long-distance provider. It'll be more expensive if you don't, if you call long-distance. And if you don't set it up in 30 days, we may charge you $5 to set one up. And that was the two things paragraph put across. But they're at least saying, set one up, bloody goddammit, come on.
And I know for a fact that my SBC bill says your long distance carrier is you're pre-subscribed to this, and your calls automatically route to this carrier for Intralotta and this other carrier for Intralotta. And I mean, they do that so that you don't accidentally, dial all your calls direct through some other carrier that might change your code through them. So really, the only thing that can truly damage you in the long run is your own ignorance.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I was just, of course, when you have a system that's so complex that you have to do research on it to know exactly what you're getting, my question was just, do you think the public could be better educated on it, perhaps through whatever means, or by the telephone company themselves, proactively?
People are going to be ignorant on anything if you don't educate them.
Yes.
And even if you do make the stuff available, I mean, people are going to be ignorant of it regardless. You can send,
that's true.
Yeah, you can send them literature that says, hey, do this, hey, do that, hey, read this, and they'll throw it out, and they won't read it. Or they'll read it, and they won't know what it's about. So,
or they'll trade it between themselves from people in California and people in Massachusetts.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I guess that's really all I had for today. Of course, I can. If you guys have networking subjects in the future, basically my job is to be a network engineer. So if you need someone that can talk about BGP or routing in general or firewalls or whatever, just I can come on and talk about that stuff.
All right, cool.
Of course, offhand, it's hard for me to think of subject to dispute about, but
hey, send us a proposal and we'll probably very seriously consider it. And that goes for all you listeners.
Email
either
radiobinrev.com or email one of us, because I actually think I might have questions for you regardless.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on the show, and I hope you guys have some more entertaining material after I'm done.
Seems like
you have a few people queued up, so I guess
you gave good questions. Thank you so much.
Are you gonna kick me off with style?
Well, we appreciate you calling in, and we encourage you to call back again with more questions if you have them.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks, John. Bye-bye.
Do we
have another phone call, or shall I read another email first?
Let's read another email.
Email, and you can
while you're answering it. Yeah, I'll just screen the call. Which one were we on?
All right, sounds good to me.
The one after...
We have number 3 by
Alex. That's right, yeah. Hey, Black Ratchet and Strom Carl.
The one after HP Host.
Yeah. Just got a chance to download and listen to episodes 129 and 130. In 129, you mentioned using Winamp to stream to Shoutcast Icecast from Windows and Isis to do the same on Linux. Another app for streaming audio I find somewhat useful on Linux is Muse. And that's tinyurl.com/...
Charlie, Quebec 9 Echo Uniform.
It has gtk/cursive/ command line interfaces for controlling and can talk to Icecast, Shoutcast, Darwin, etc. It has support for playing MP3 WAV AUG files internally as well as recording from line in. I haven't had experience with the GTK interface, but the cursive interface gives me problems, but the CLI is great. In episode 130, you mentioned the ARRL handbook and a couple of other books for studying for a ham license test. I'd also recommend grz.com, or is that qrz.com?
QRZ.
Okay, QRZ.com. They have practice tests online with the entire question pool as Reddit, as well as other useful resources. I use that site a lot when practicing for my tech license test. Finally, several episodes ago, you mentioned that someone had built a rotary cell phone in passing. Here's the link to that project, tinyurl.com/...
6. Oscar Mike Echo November.
Definitely a cool project. Sorry for the long email. Keep up the good work, Alex. I'm going to jump right on.
You or I are lagged.
Yeah.
I forget what it is.
Probably you, because I'm sitting right here on the
call. I can talk about QRZ. Go ahead and take the next phone call.
Okay. And I can talk about Muse. All right.
Oh, you've used Muse. Okay, that's good, because I actually haven't used it. All right. So, Alex, thanks for those links. I could have sworn that we actually plugged gave the link out for the tiny whatever it is, the rotary cell phone. And, but I guess not, so, tinyurl.com/6omen.
I just noticed that. I actually spilled something. How cool. QRZ is a nice website. For those of you curious, QRZ is actually something called a Q code. Basically, back in the days of Morse code, they used to have all these little short Q codes. And it was basically texting before texting was cool, because you would basically have these little three-letter codes, like, you know, Q, letter, letter, and they'd all mean something different. And basically QRZ would mean, who's calling me? Is someone calling me? So, and what QRZ initially started out as is basically a radio lookup site for the different call signs. Like, you'd enter someone's call sign, and you'd get back a address of whether you could contact that person or send them something called a QSL. And QSL is another Q code, and it basically stands for I heard you, or I hear you, or do you hear me? And another use for that is a QSL card. And what a QSL card basically means is a little card that you can trade, a little postcard saying, you know, I contacted you on such and such a date at such and such a time. And basically you trade them, and, you know, if I contact someone in Botswana, I send them a QSL card, and then they send me a QSL card, and they have something from, you know, Boston, Massachusetts, and I have something from, you know, Hakihokahang, Botswana. And basically what ham radio guys do is they, you know, collect them and they put them on their walls. And you can look at them. And, you know, my university radio club had stuff from all over. Like, you know, stuff back from, like, you know, USSR. It was amazing, some of the stuff that they had. Like, you know, and it's just basically it's a little thing. It's like, yeah, I talked there. Yeah. And you can hike your belt up and say, like, you know, your phallus is larger than your competitors. Strom, are you back? Guess not. Muse is a nice program. I've never actually used it, but apparently Strom has, so we'll have to talk about it a little bit more. I did some quick Googling, and it's gotten some nice reviews. And sadly, they didn't have screenshots, but I guess that's kind of difficult if you're just, you know, making a curses client. But I guess, you know, for the GTK client, you can make some pretty pictures. Yeah, so QRZ, nice website. They've really expanded. They have, like, forums now, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe they have web hosting, which you can do if you're a ham radio guy, and some people are using that. That could be a different website, though. And they do have tests. That's something I forgot to mention. There's a lot of online testing that you can do. QRZ has one. I believe the ARRL has one as well, and I think Strom is back.
I am certainly back, yes.
Or not. Hello. Boy,
yeah.
I guess I'm lagged.
You are majorly lagged. Yeah, why don't I talk about Muse, and will you hang up and call back in?
Yes, I think I will do that.
Okay.
I'll talk about Muse.
Okay. So anyway, when I was playing around with streaming BinRev Radio Live, I actually considered using Muse because it has a transcoding ability, and it has the ability to... I was looking at it basically for two things. First off, transcoding ability, and second, the fact that I could play high-quality music and talk into a microphone to stream the radio, the audio live. But
oh, that's what you were looking at it for.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at it for. But the problems I encountered with it were that really I just couldn't get it to work.
Apparently that's a requirement. You must have really high standards.
Yeah. The GTK interface just did not work at all. It really, like, it would work every now and again. I should give it some credit, but I couldn't get it to work reliably well. And, you know, it wouldn't have worked out. So that's why we do it this way. Yes, yes. Because it would actually really be cool to be able to put the higher quality audio directly into the stream instead of having to go and mix it in later. But I guess not. If I might try it again, and it might work this time. But so far, I haven't gotten it to work.
Only time will tell.
Yes.
So who do we have for a caller?
I believe we have Iron Geek as a caller, and he wants to chat about something. I forget exactly what he wants to chat about. Something involving conventions. Let me bring him on here.
Well, he can go bring it on here and talk about it. Maybe I believe he was actually talking in a Pound of Anomicon on Freenode about someone was talking about how there were hot chicks at cons. And these are the important things you need to remember for computer cons. Actually, oh yeah, that's what it was. They were showing a picture on Iron Geek's website about the hot chicksaurs, LOL.
All right, I think we have Iron Geek on now. Hello.
I'm on. I was just going to mention a live CD that was recently released.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
How did you get conventions out of a live CD?
Well, no, he had, that's right, he had two things. One is a live CD, one is conventions, and I just forgot to note that.
I took some pictures at Freaknik 9 of some very pretty women, but you got to keep in mind, I only took pictures of the pretty women by and large, so it's not exactly representative of what you normally see at the convention.
So
that being said, there were some lovely ladies there.
Yeah, so you've avoided violating your no fat chicks rule?
I did violate a time or two.
Ah.
So it's good to have some meat on them bones.
Yes, it is.
Depending on how much meat.
I hope my fiance isn't listening.
There's a fine line between the too much meat and too little meat, but actually, no, there's not really a fine line. There's a large area where it could go over.
Well, we'll take your word for it. So our live CD, let's go get actually back on somewhat on topic rather than talking about Hacksaw Chicks.
The live CD in question was recently released at ShmooCon. Dr. Chaos and his team of people developed it. Apparently he was doing a lecture at InnerZone, I believe it was 4, where he talked about how to create an OS that left very little traces as far as ingoing and outgoing. Basically, anybody who tried to contact the system running this OS would receive no information back about it, and all communications outbound would be encrypted and done in such a way that it would be hard to trace back to it. They came out with a CD based on OpenBSD 3.8 that allows a lot of this. What they've done is they built everything into this live CD, Tor, Privoxy, and so forth. And everybody knows what Tor is, basically, right?
Yeah.
I hope so. If not, you should listen to episode 120-something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, for our listeners, the name of this live CD distribution is AnonymOS, A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-S.
Thank you for saying that. And they use all this, and they use Tor, and they encrypt everything, and they route it through the network, and it makes it incredibly hard to trace back. And they also have very stringent firewall rules that keep that particular box running the CD from easily being able to be detected. Though, obviously, if it's connected to a wireless network, it's going to be detectable for people on the local LAN. And I've been playing around with it recently. It even sends the DNS traffic over... apparently the Tor channel. It runs both Firefox and game no problem with the Tor network, and it uses the Privoxy proxy to pull out extra information that JavaScript and other client-side utilities might be able to pull up about the host. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're doing a pretty good job of trying to make a secure boot CD. It might be a cool thing to play with in your local coffee shop that's popping into your laptop, boot up from it, and see how secure you are. Web surf to a few places that list your IP address, like Nick84's website, and see what it reports back to you.
Or even better, when you're in the coffee shop, go sneak on someone else's laptop and go fire it up that way.
That's an idea. And it seems to work pretty well on the VMware player. So if you want to try it and don't want to say that you can't boot from it.
Have we lost him?
That option.
Oh, okay. I thought it was me, honestly.
Yeah, no, it was me, too. Will you repeat that? I think you dropped out for a second.
Oh. Also, if for some reason you can't get this live CD to work from straight booting it on your laptop because it doesn't support your wireless card, you can always use VMware Player. It seems to run pretty easy in that. And VMware Player is free.
Ah, cool, cool.
So I've run it on Windows in VMware Player. Actually, VMware Player, there's actually tools out there. All it would do is let you play someone else's virtual machine that they've created, let's say, with the full VMware. However, someone's come up with tools to make your own virtual machines for completely free.
It's
almost as good as having full VMware.
Oh, I am so playing with that. I used to have VMware on my computer from my job, but I don't have the CD anymore. Technically, that's illegal, and you shouldn't do that, so... I only can play with it at work, but I was missing that. I had a lot of fun virtual OSs on my computer installed.
In this case, it's all legal because they provide VMware Player for free, and the person who creates I'll paste it into the channel a bit. But the person who creates VMX Builder, he offers his thing for free, and between the two of them, you pretty much have most of the functionality of the full VMware.
This was before they actually came out with a free version of VMware, so that's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, and the other thing I'd like to mention is two upcoming cons I wanted to see if anybody was going to be going to. InnoZone is coming up in Atlanta. I've never actually been to that. It's apparently March 10th through the 12th. And I haven't heard much about it, but I think some people from Benware went there a previous year.
Stank Dog is going this year, I believe.
Stank Dog is?
I believe he is.
And then there's Nauticon coming up on April 7th through the 9th. And I think there's a whole lot of BenRef is going to be showing up for that one.
Not I said myself. But yes, a lot of people are going. I believe Droops is presenting. Droops might be there. I don't know.
Is.
Okay, Droops is. Okay.
I'm like,
so Nauticon, InnerZone is March 3rd through 10th.
March 10th through 12th.
Yeah, I'm out of it. I'm suffering from a Strom disease. And
that's okay.
And that's where exactly is InnerZone? I know it's down south. Is it in Georgia?
That's in Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
And not a con's up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Spiffy.
Up from my standpoint.
sort of across and down, west-southwest for me, I think. All right. Well, do you have anything else?
Oh, he forgot to mention Layer 1.
Oh, yeah, Layer 1.
Layer 1. I wasn't aware of Layer 1. Where is it at?
Pasadena, California.
When is that?
That is, I believe, that's the weekend of April 15th through the 16th.
Seriously, someone needs to start a convention in Boston, like, yesterday. I'm just bummed out. I mean, come on, Cleveland?
Hey, scenic downtown Cleveland.
Drew Carey's there, but that's about it.
Isn't Rock and Roll Hall of Fame there also?
Who cares about rock and roll?
In other words, there's not much there. I get the point, yeah.
Cleveland.
Personally, I'd like to have one in Louisville, Kentucky, but that ain't going to happen anytime soon.
Well, Louisville, Kentucky is close to Freaknik, isn't it? If I'm not mistaken. I don't know.
Well, that's down in Nashville, Tennessee. It's not. I guess it's fairly close. Depends on what you mean. It's a lot closer than me going out to Hope or out to Las Vegas for DEF CON.
How long of a drive is it?
Iron Geek, hello.
I guess he faded out. Well, that stinks. I'll have to go fire that in. Louisville, Kentucky to Nashville, Tennessee. I'll go fire that off into Google Maps later.
Yeah. Anyway, if he doesn't say anything in the next couple of minutes, I'm just going to drop the call off my console.
I think we've lost him.
All right.
No. I'm here, but I just
don't
have anything else to say.
Okay.
We missed it. How long from Louisville, Kentucky to Nashville, Tennessee?
I want to say if you drive it and you don't have a lot of traffic, I think you can do it in about 4 or 5 hours. I think it ended up taking us 6 or 7 because of traffic and various other problems.
I didn't hear the question earlier.
Apparently, I dropped out or something.
Yes, I get you dropped out.
Are you calling? Are you calling from a landline phone?
Yes, I am.
Hmm.
It's an IP phone at work, though, so maybe some weirdness going on there.
Well, that's not exactly a landline phone, then. So,
okay, not technically.
A sort of landline.
It's an IP.
All right. Well, thank you very much for those conventions and also Layer 1. So be there or be square, no matter where you are. I'll be square. I'll be leaving in Boston.
Hey, I've got to drive all the way to Pasadena from Los Angeles.
And how far is that?
About 15 minutes.
Yeah, bite me.
Well, you guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thank you much, man.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
I'll go read the next email. Hey guys, I heard your episode 131, Amateur Radio, and you.
Oh, can I interject here for a second?
Yeah. Yes.
Dear emailer, amateur, spelled A-M-A-T-E-U-R. It comes from French. Read a dictionary.
Get it out of your system. Get it out of
A-M-A-T-E-U-R.
Deep breath. Just take a deep breath. It's a nice cleansing breath. The evil misspellings are not going to get you.
It's not armature without an R, okay? It's amateur.
It's good. I always had trouble spelling amateur, to be honest with you.
I
noticed a lot of talk about Verizon and even Verizon DSL. Well, I have stated before that I work for a telecom.
Well, that's Verizon, sadly, I admit. The bad thing is that I do not have any Verizon services. I once had DSL and a local telephone through them, but that was wickedly disappointing. For instance, when I first got DSL, I had no connection whatsoever. Why? When Verizon told me had I had some wild MAC address for my number, which I never owned. So from the get-go, I had to spoof my MAC address just for the connection. Their exact words were, "Sir, you'll have to find this MAC address to get connected. Okay, so let me put up with you. Okay, so let me put out an APB on it." On top of that, the issue, randomly, the routing would go south, and websites would drop off. And I don't own a Linux box or call and report a problem unless you have Windows box to boot up. Don't think he said that one correctly. I think he tried to say that he has Linux, he doesn't have Windows, and he can't report a problem that way. I finally threw their Walmart modem out of the window. Hmm?
Hey, Booter, what's up, man?
You need to mute
all
yourself,
right, I
Strom.
Your questions. So I'm just going to park you here.
And sacrifice my residential alarm,
yep,
because their phone service sucks. So here sits a Verizon employee who has no faith in their service. And no, I don't work with the phone groups. I work in Internet security. Oh, and by the way, amateur radio is fun to mess with. Packet radio in real life is some decent fun. I'm a licensed amateur, also KGXXXXX, which is a Virginia license. But like you said, don't give out your call sign. Lots of laugh. Good advice, guys. Cheers, anonymous disgruntled employee. P.S. I have a PSP, and I attached a wallpaper that I made. And as a wallpaper is the Verizon logo with making migraines every day underneath it.
I just realized I forgot to mute this side of the connection when I checked that call, didn't I?
Why, yes. Yes, you did. I'm sitting there, and I hear, "This is Strom." And I'm going, "What?" I hear, "Okay, Booter, let me put you on hold, and I'll park you right here." And I'm like, "Okay, you must be talking to someone else." So I continued with the email.
Yeah. Oops.
I gotta say, well, thank you for your Verizon rant. You should have showed up during our free-floating hostility episode. That would have come in handy. It's strange that they gave you the MAC address answer. Perhaps it's different in Virginia. But perhaps that they're different in Virginia, or perhaps that they're feeding you, some grade-A bull. I spoof my MAC address on Verizon, but that's only because I was thinking, let me rephrase that. I could have spoofed my MAC address on Verizon, but the only reason I did that is because I took their official wonderful DSL router and modem all built into one unit, and I basically made it into an Ethernet bridge so I could control my own firewall rules. And apparently some of their DSL modems, when you tell it to release your DHCP address, it doesn't actually do it. And if you don't release your DHCP and you try to connect to it again via a different MAC address, it panics and doesn't give you an IP. So it was very well documented, but I don't know what your problem was. And technically that only you lose internet, but you only lose it for like 2 hours for your lease to expire. Or at least that's what everyone else said. It didn't happen to me, thank goodness. So, well, it's very well documented. I don't know what your problem was, but I think they were feeding you some bull. I'll post your wallpaper up on my website. I found it gave me a chuckle. And finally, you could also drop your digit. Because I know you're going to be KG4 because you're from Virginia, or at least I assume you are. So, I owned you.
You pwned him.
Yes, and we have Booter that's going to be on the line, isn't it? I just had this psychic premonition.
You did?
Wow. Yeah. It's like this little voice inside my head told me while I was reading the email.
Okay, well, yeah, I think you're right. Let me see if I can grab Booter here.
Yes. Another thing about amateur radio, for those of you who don't know, depending on what part of the country that you are in, you get assigned number on your call sign. Like, for example, Northeast is 1, New York is 2, and the South is 4, and I forget where 3 is, but like, you know, all of California is 6, and there's all kinds of like crazy stuff over there. And I think Booter's outside because I think I heard a car pass by.
You there, Booter?
Yeah, what's going on, yo?
Not much. How are you, man?
Relaxing. Taking a day off today. I called in.
Cool.
Oh shoot, let's hope they're not listening to the radio show.
Yeah, but I'm not at work, so it's all good.
So your question involved broadband over power lines, did it not?
yeah, our we had a meeting at work, a company-wide meeting, and our CEO was talking about how they're looking to get into that. So I started to do some research, and I looked around a little bit, and basically the only thing, I haven't found any, like, new articles. Everything dates back to, like, 2003. But basically all I really know of is it's supposed to be symmetrical as far as upstream and downstream.
Yes.
So I was wondering if y'all knew much more about that.
Well, what broadband over power lines is, for those of you who don't know, broadband over power lines is basically, you know, it means exactly what it sounds like. You get broadband and it's over your electrical system rather than a cable system or your phone line. It's symmetrical. I believe it has very long, I don't know what you would call it, an effective radius from wherever they actually start the signal from, or it's very easy to boost a signal as opposed to, like, you know, DSL. The main problem with BPL is that it could be flaky in sometimes, and this is what I heard in 2003. I actually haven't done much research on it now, but the main thing in when it first came out is areas that got it. Amateur radio operators who worked the world bands, that's stuff below 50 megahertz, they had major interference. And technically that's a no-no because with the FCC resignations...
Does it mean regulations?
No, designated because the regulation and a designation.
I thought I heard you say resignations. I'm like, resignation?
Yeah. I would like the FCC to resign, but I meant to say designation. I might have screwed up. Lord only knows. The FCC regulations state that certain equipment get designated designated under a certain rule set, and that's called Part 15. And if you look under certain devices, you'll see, you know, FCC, Part 15, this device may cause harmful interference or may have to accept harmful interference, blah, 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 blah. But with the fact that it was interfering with amateur radio is designated underneath another rule set called Part 97. And with that, the Part 15 device gets completely blown out by the amateur radio device, and because the Part 15 device was interfering with amateur radio, the ARRL, we mentioned them last week, filed complaints on behalf of amateur radio guys saying, hey, this stuff is interfering with our thing, and it therefore is in violation of the FCC rules. And a major battle ensued, basically between the ARRL and the people with money. And as it stands now, the ARRL is, I wouldn't say has won, but is winning. It's looking very good. A lot of the stuff that caused interference was of sucky quality anyway, and the FCC did say to certain companies, you are causing harmful interference, you need to cut this out. And so with broadband over power lines, as it stands now, is that it's still being rolled out. However, the newer equipment is actually a lot better. It's not perfect, and people are still bitching and moaning, as it were. To some degree, they are right, but to some point, you're just going to say, hey, you know, at least it wasn't as bad as it was.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because I was thinking that...
He was thinking that dropout.
Wow, your VoIP connection just sucked
today.
Are you on a mobile phone, Booter?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay, you dropped out. Can you please repeat that?
I'm saying, If it's just plugged into a regular outlet, I'm assuming that it would pretty much need its own dedicated outlet, because if you had anything else plugged into it, you know, it would cause interference, like a radio or any other sort of device plugged into the same outlet.
No, I don't believe it does, actually. I'm not exactly sure if there's any what customer premise equipment is involved in this, but from what I've heard, it's fairly transparent. I wonder what the billing's like, because, like, everyone's connected up to the same AC source.
Yeah.
That's actually an interesting question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the whole broadband over power line thing, when I first read about it, it struck me the wrong way, and it just still hasn't, I have to sneeze. It still doesn't seem right to me, because at least in my eyes, if you've got a communications network and you've got a power network, the two should really be separate. I mean, seriously.
Hey, Ken, like California, you can buy,
buy your telephone service from the power company?
Not as far as I know. LAGWP doesn't have power telephone service.
No. What is it? No. Las Vegas. I remember you mentioned that on one of your recordings.
Oh, in Pahrump, the local electric utility had a CLEC division, I think.
Yes.
But it wasn't over power lines. It was over... it was still over the telephone network.
Well, this is the next logical step, isn't it?
Blah, 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 blah.
But yes, BPL is interesting, but I personally, I'm with Strom. I don't foresee it taking off anytime soon.
Yeah.
I mean, do y'all think, like, I don't know, like, if they send out the same sort of signals, but, I mean, as far as, like, you know, like, war driving and stuff, like, wouldn't it be, like, a completely different way of trying to pick up those signals, or... Or would it just be coming from...
It's not wireless. It's actually on the network. But what the problem was the signal transposed over the electrical current caused harmful interference with amateur radio equipment. And basically, you didn't actually pick up data. You just... I believe the ARRL has, like, actual videos of this actually happening and sound recordings. And basically what you hear is just hear this... And it's very noticeable, and if you want to pick up, like, a lot of, like, distant stations, you won't be able to hear them with this interference on top of them.
Oh, okay.
So that was what the issue was.
Then I kind of had another question or question comment slash thing. I had a friend back just about a week before Christmas, and he was at the mall, and he had his 4-year-old daughter with him. And I guess they were in a food court, and it's, you know, as kids do, his 4-year-old daughter started to run off. So instead of grabbing a cell phone that was on the table, like, he went and chased after his daughter inside the mall, you know. And some lady grabbed his cell phone and says, oh, I got me a new cell phone now, and, like, she disappeared in the crowd as he was still chasing his daughter. Which got me thinking, I was like, I don't know if there's any service out there or if they're thinking about doing it where from your phone, like, you know, if you got your SIM card on your phone, where if you could go through the internet and basically upload all the numbers that you had into like your online account with whatever provider that you have.
Hmm. Some providers do this already. Like Strom and I, we have our sidekicks, and all of the contact information is kept online. And this is actually how Paris Hilton got owned back last year or so.
Yeah. I forget when it was. Yeah, sometime last year.
Yeah, so basically someone broke into the online version of her account and got all their contact information that way.
But it's pretty cool because I just had my sidekick replaced because the old one flaked out on me. I abused it. And I stuck in my SIM card, and all my settings and all my contacts just downloaded from their servers onto my sidekick, and it was literally like I had never changed phones.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
And, yeah, I've never used T-Mobile, so I have no idea how their stuff runs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe
Yeah,
one of my friends uses, oh, crap, Singular, that's who they use, and they have something similar to that, where you can store your contacts online, or whatever you want to call it. They either store it onto a web server, or they store it, like, not on the SIM card, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, typically the way GSM works is that all your contacts get stored on the SIM, so that should you change phones, your contacts come with you. And even if your phone doesn't have an internet uplink, any phone that has data cable, some sort of capability to connect to your computer, either with data cable or Bluetooth or infrared, the software that you download from the phone manufacturer will in fact have the ability to copy your contacts onto your computer. So it is kind of a moot point at this point, because even if you can't do that, if your phone is the only place you're storing your numbers, and you know you can't transfer them off, and you lose the phone, that's your own damn fault for not having the numbers copied somewhere else, like in a book or something.
Yeah.
So that's the wonderful world of.
Yeah,
number storage.
Yeah, it's sad, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
People just do it. So, you know, what you gonna do?
Yeah, and anything could happen. Your phone could fall in the lake. Your phone could get horribly crushed by a moving vehicle. Your phone could get swallowed by a toddler or something. So,
keep a backup of your numbers handy in case your phone dies in some cataclysmic, horrible events like, I don't know, the table catching on fire. All right. Anything else?
Well, that was all I have for you guys. Y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Oh, okay.
We should congratulate. Yeah, we should congratulate Booter while
oh, yeah,
we're
Booter,
for,
Booter.
For
yeah,
being
sorry.
Part of the new moderating team on the BinRev forums.
Yes, I mean,
it makes it so
much easier to get naked pictures of you guys.
Oh yeah.
Well, we have those in the mods forum. I mean, that's what we got to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All the mods have naked pictures of all the other mods. And you know I spearheaded that effort, so...
Exactly. I mean, hell, you were giving us naked pictures of you before you were a mod. Oh, hell yeah,
well,
hell yeah.
Well, I mean, that was just about, you know, what is it, from whatever movie that Meet the Fockers, Circle of Trust?
Circle of Trust. I'm with the hacker honeycomb hideout here. All right, let's get going down here. But congratulations, Booter. welcome to the mod, and, you know, watch out. Everyone watch out for Booter. He's going to smack your ass down.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the forum...
All right, Todd, yeah, take care.
You're very welcome.
All right, talk to you later, man.
Talk to you later, man.
Right.
And speaking of the forums, that leads into our next email.
Yes.
It says, this email is just to remind you guys to mention the logo contest on the forum, DJ Mollusk. So... what we're doing on the BinRev forums is we have a contest to design new logos for Binary Revolution and the Digital Dog Pound. And I have been working on and refining my Binary Revolution logo. And,
did you know that I actually hadn't noticed this until he sent the email?
You hadn't?
I do not go into that forum at all.
OMG.
Yes. If I want Photoshops, I go to FARC. That's my rule of thumb.
Our Photoshop's just aren't good enough for Black Ratchet.
Well, no, I just realized that if I want to go to Photoshop, so I go to FARC. If I want to talk about hackings, I go to DDP. That's what it is. I go to the BinRev forums, talk about hacking, and then when I'm done, I go to FARC and look at the Photoshop.
I really shouldn't chide you because there are I shouldn't chide you because there are parts of the forum that I don't read either. So,
yes. But you know, yes, it's in the forums in the Photoshop / I forget what the actual name is.
Photoshop forum. Contest, it's called.
Oh, that's what it is? Okay, I forget what it is. And, yeah, you can check that out, and you can add your own logos. And are we offering a prize or something, or just bragging rights?
I don't know if we're offering a prize specifically. Let me take a look. The wonder of live radio.
We'll offer a prize tonight. If you get make a good logo, we will let you come on the radio show, and you can talk about whatever you want or something, yes.
Let's see.
Prize right there. It's a bit of a booby prize, but... and not the good type of boobies, but...
yeah. This is going to be a little different than other competitions because multiple people could, quote, win, unquote, and there really isn't any prize other than the satisfaction of being involved. So...
oh, we'll give you that, too.
Yeah, we'll give you that, too. But we're going to up the ante, and we're going to offer, shit. I'm cleaning up my apartment. I'm sure I'll find some... interesting, weird piece of electronics lying around here, so I will offer that as a prize to whoever wins.
Interesting, weird piece of electronics from Strom's floor.
Yes.
We'll write that in the notes for next week, and we'll go announce it then. We'll give a prize, some type of prize, to whoever Strom deems worthy.
So, yeah.
Or we'll let all the mods go to figure that one out. All right.
Yeah. So tune in next week to hear the prize.
Want to read the next email?
Sure, why not? Let me see. Where did I put that? Here we go. Hi, you ratchet.
You just had it up.
Yeah, I did. Well, I went
This actually was directly mailed to me, just so everyone knows. It wasn't actually mailed to the thing. But it was cool enough that and no one else actually emailed it, so I put it on the radio show.
I feel so loved. Hi, you ratchet. I was listening to you in Strong... yeah, and Strom. My dyslexia kicked in. I thought it said Storm for a second. I was listening to you and Strom on the BinRev stream, and I heard you talking about XP Security Center and that annoying red shield. I'm sure you've already figured this out, but just in case. If you want to disable individual notifications or the whole shield applet, I do this completely, do the following. Go to Start Control Panel Security Center
On the left-hand side is a box out named Resources, with a small bullet-pointed list of options underneath it. Select the last option on the list. This is called Change the Way Security Center Alerts Me. Three options are listed here: Firewall, Automatic Update, and Virus Protection. Each of these has its own tick box. Just untick the option — that's a checkbox for all those of you who don't speak British — just untick the option you don't want to be bothered by, or untick the item, or untick them all, and the shield will disappear from your desktop. Hope this helps, and if I'm way too late, sorry. Smiley face. Love the show, by the way. You have quite a following over here in England, i.e. as in England, Britain. I listen religiously, and that's saying something for an atheist. Smiley face. The stream plays all day in my workshop, which slightly annoys my wife and cats — they prefer music — but seems to have a magnetic effect on clients, etc. Anyway, better scoot, it's nearly 5 a.m. here. Insomnia is a truly terrible thing, but I do some of my best work at night. Swings and roundabouts, I guess. See ya. It feels good to get in touch after listening to you for so long. Maybe I'll email in the show with something useful in the future. Anything's possible. Regards and best wishes for the show. Rainy day.
Yeah, like I said, this got sent to my personal address, but no one else really talked about how to fix my problem that I ranted about. I did get sick and tired of the message, so I did break down and Google it, and I figured it out. But the exact solution was there that Rainy Day mentioned, and it was fixed. And so I'm just going to give him shouts out for, hey, at least actually sitting down and writing it to me. I'm very shocked that we have a magnetic effect on people. I'm shocked. How about you, whether it be the cats or people?
I'm shocked that we have a magnetic effect on both people and cats.
You just like the whole cat sex thing.
Yes. Well, I found
the email.
I found the original dog balls image, which I will post into the forum very shortly.
Oh, I just can't wait for that. Rainy Day, I'm glad you liked the show. Thank you very much for the compliments. I hope I didn't, you said, you might want to write in with something useful someday. This was useful, so we're reading it on the show. I hope I didn't, do a breach of trust or something about, I emailed it to your personal address. I didn't mean for you to read it on the show. But it was handy, and you never know. It might actually fix somebody's problems sometime. You never know. We have a last email. I'm not sure if we want to read this. I actually think that I want to try to get this guy on the show, because he just did a very cool thing, and I think I want to probe him and see what else he can do with this. So,
all right. Yeah, I read over it, and I think it would be better if he was a guest rather than just reading the email. So we're going to try and get him on.
I told him to email the show, and I think I offered him to when our guest bailed on us this evening. He didn't bail. I hate the term bail. I mean, he used it so he understands what actually it means, but at the same point, I just want to say, you have an excuse. Bailing is just not showing up or something. I tried to get him on, and basically he said to me, he IM'd me and said, I mailed it in. Can you read it on the show? And I said, oh, yeah, sure, I can read it on the show. And I sat down and I read it, and I checked all the links that he had, and I IM'd him back about 10 minutes later saying, dude, do you want to be on the show tonight? And he never got back to me, so we'll hopefully get him on. It's about TiVo hacking, and he did some very interesting things with his TiVo, and we'll try to actually get him on here and talk about it, because it was very cool. And, wow, we actually stretched this out to an hour and 10 minutes far, and we still haven't done anything.
Oh, yeah, well, Eggman in the channel had a question, which my IRC client crashed, and they... I lost the question.
I think I can scroll up and get that. Basically, he was talking about how Verizon used to be...
Hawaiian Tail used to be Verizon, yeah. If you could read it in its entirety.
Quick question quick question to you, telecom nuts. This is from Eggman on Pound Bin Rev on IRC.Dell.net. Out in here in Hawaii, we used to have Verizon. However, now we have Hawaiian Telecom. After listening to the radio about telecoms, I am now curious who the hell owns them. Any idea? And how does that fit in with the rest of the telecoms around the country?
All right, here's what happened. Hawaiian Telephone was an independent company which was bought by GTE sometime, I think, in the 70s. I want to see the 70s or the 60s. And
we're the one for you, Hawaii. I'm sorry.
Hawaiian
First
telephone.
Thing that popped in my mind. I'm Charlton Heston for Contel.
So... I'm Carl Pastor for Constel. Pry this phone from my cold, dead hands.
Let's go answer his question.
Yeah. So anyway, Hawaiiantel was bought by GT. I don't know exactly when. I want to say either the 60s or the 70s. And when GTE merged with Bell Atlantic, it became Verizon Hawaii. And then I think as part of their refocus on, for something, I don't know, I guess Hawaii wasn't high enough revenue for Verizon. So Verizon divested the Hawaiian Telephone division. And I think Hawaiian Telephone is now just sitting there as an independent company, although it might get swallowed up by somebody else.
Well, it looks like an excuse to go to Hawaii to go play on an independent.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's still pretty much all GTD5s and whatnot. But let me see, actually, if I can find their website and answer this live on the show.
Yes, actually, if you, I believe on oldschoolfreak.com, Dual Parallel went to Hawaii, and he photographed some payphones and some other telecom-related nonsense of, I believe then it was GTE. I think he went pre-2000. Yeah, that's on oldschoolfreak.com, and if you don't know how to spell that URL, you know, tough noogies, go hang out in the forum, talk to Natus, he'll tell you. But yes.
Do they not have their own website?
They have to have their own website. It's the 21st century. My cat has its own website.
Hawaiiantel.com. So, let's see. Hawaiian Telecom, it looks like it's independent about us. It says, "Hi, we're back and proud to be serving the islands. This is a brand new chapter in our rich 122-year history in the islands. Great things are in store for our customers, the community, and for all of us at Hawaiian Telecom."
Great things like dial tone.
Blah, 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 blah,
and
blah.
Ring. And yeah. Busy.
As an independent telecommunications company headquartered in Honolulu, okay, so they are completely independent. So yeah, as I thought, Verizon divested them, and they are now totally on their own.
And sure enough, the person talking about the TiVo, just I am me back saying, "Did I miss your message?" Anyway, we'll try to get him on another show because he just did some very cool things,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it is. Where have you been over the past 2 weeks, Strom? We'll just sort of lightly gloss over personal hacking stories.
Oh, let's see. I went to Chicago, and I played with the 180. Yeah. Or as a friend of mine who's from there and who's been smoking for, like, the better part of a half a decade says, "Chicago!" But,
all right.
Yeah. But, I went there, had a good time, played with the 1AESS, made some recordings, which I hope to be posting soon. And then I've just been busy with that, and I've been exhausted from that. And now I'm recovering, so that's what I've been doing.
Yes. Recovering by cleaning your apartment.
Yeah. Well, no, I just started that today. I was like, you know, I'm sick of living like a slob, so I'm going to clean up.
Hell, I'm used to like living like a slob. Heck, people sort of came over to my apartment when I lived in actual Boston proper. God, that place was disgusting. We basically ignore the dishes until they were overflowing and just crusted together.
Hey, that sounds like my kitchen.
Oh, wow. Oh, geez, that fit right in. It was basically who could ignore the dishes the longest out of like the six people that lived there in the three-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
What have I been doing? I haven't been doing much. I've been coding a lot more, and I've been fooling around with C# and serial connections and network streams and TCP clients in C#. And I've also been doing a lot of look at APRS and, like we talked about last week, and Google Maps. And there's a lot of some stuff out there, but nothing like I'm picturing, so I might have a project soon. Oh, yes, and I also tied into... I'm starting to tie in yet another payphone list over to Bell's Mind. So all of the Yapple phones as of this afternoon are posted over in posted into Bell's Mind. So
cool.
That's pretty cool. It was pretty neat. He was complaining that he had only had 7 new phone number submissions this month, and I was like, well, let me give you all the Apple. So instead of 7 new phone numbers, now we have
2400 something. Another thing that I want to say is go to bellsmind.net and submit numbers, damn it.
Oh, I've got something cool. In cleaning up, I found a mini disc I thought I had misplaced. A whole bunch of recordings of a traffic operator position system from June of 2005, which I'll be editing, narrating, and putting on my site shortly.
Mm. Well, like, people like me will be interested, but everyone's just like, Tops, what the hell is that?
Yeah,
but listen to it. It's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, Tops, well, maybe I'll explain it and play a short clip or something on the next show.
Possibly, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Finally, we have an announcement to make.
We do?
I think we have an announcement to make. The DDP has created a new website. It's digitaldogpound.org, and we're trying to have a blog. I was told to announce this, or said it, we could announce it. For those of you who don't know how to spell dog and all the wonderful things on the misspellings that we all use, it's tinyurl.com/9golf3lima alpha. So digitaldogpound.org, DAWG.
Yeah, well, at least that has some roots in, like, slang pronunciation versus, like, what was the one that irritated me? Oh, yes. Amateur, which is just... Also, oops is OOPS, not OPPS. I just wanted to mention that.
Now, you could just type that fast. And really, it sounds the same. It's what is it? Onomatopoeia?
No, it's oops versus ops.
Whatever. Just shut up. Ops is OPS, so you're misspelling it anyway. So.
Yeah.
La, 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 la. Site of the week. Do we have announcements?
I don't know.
Announcements, do you?
I don't.
What is it? Interzone, 10th through 12th in Atlanta, Nauticon in Cleveland. I don't remember the date. And when is Layer 1?
Layer 1 is April, I want to say 14th through 15th, but I closed that. Hang on. Layer 1...
It's 15
through 16.
We can plug it again.
15 through 16.
Congratulations, you got it right. Shouts out to Useless. Shouts out to everyone else. And shouts out to Egghead. But, you know, man, you should have called in.
Yeah.
And shouts out to everyone who called in this evening. And we actually, I think this show turned out rather well.
Yeah, it did.
Not like our previous shows of just going there going, what are we going to talk about now?
Yeah. But, yeah.
Do you have any shouts?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, no.
All right. Site of the week, we're just going to toss this out here, hexrev.com. This was sent in to us by Stankdog. So go visit hexrev.com and go see how it's well done.
Oh, my announcement is that I have been actually accepted to speak at Layer 1. So if you want to...
Oh, congratulations!
If you guys want to come hear me speak at Layer 1, come hear me speak at Layer 1.
Yes, I'm going to try to get into Hope. I have a presentation that's currently in the embryonic stage, and hopefully that'll work out. Email, radio@binrev.com. Our closing music tonight is by, it's on from ocremix.org. It's Disco Dan. Disco Dan.
As
Zelda,
opposed to Disco Duck.
Links, Disco Duck. Oh, that's a good handle. Damn. Disco Duck. I actually didn't mean to say that. But Disco Dan, Zelda, Link's Awakening, Braving the Tal Tal Heights. They have such weird titles for remixes.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else we want to say?
Not that I can think of.
All right. So, as always, we will see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Boy, could you say that any slower?
Channel.